I want to first call up for our first testimonies here today, Bruce and Laura Picard.
I grew up memorizing Bible verses, praying every morning, and being involved in church activities, including youth choir, camp, and Sunday school. I'm still grateful for that. However, my life from a very young age was always a two-faced reality. I acted one way in church, but another way elsewhere. In one way, I was very close to the truth, and at the same time, I was so far from it. I was a liar, a thief, and a sex addict. And I never had any problem with it. I was quick to point the finger and call others liars and thieves, but I never thought that I was one. I was full of myself and my desires. At the age of 15, I was already practicing pornography and other sins of which I am ashamed to talk about. I hated my parents because, as I saw it, they were preventing me from expressing myself freely and openly. Later, I learned in the Bible that what I was and what I did was an expression of my sinful nature. I was dead in my sin. However, in 1997, when the opportunities were ripe and I had no parental control over me, when I thought I was free to do anything I wanted, and my feelings were screaming inside of me for more action, I started to feel guilty. I felt ashamed and condemned. I had a guilty conscience from which there was no rest and no place to hide. I tried a number of things to relieve my soul of the pain, but to no avail. Nothing could erase that pain. Later, I learned what was happening to me, but at the time, I did not know. My conscience was guilty because I had realized the real person I was inside. It was ugly, evil, and I had no rest from the guilt. I reasoned in my head that there was no God and that my parents were to blame for any sense of guilt that I had. That struggle went on for a while, and to those who knew me then, I was intelligent, respectful, and a very promising individual. But in my eyes, I was dying, hopeless, and condemned. One Sunday evening, I went to church. An acquaintance who later became a dear friend approached me and with genuine concern asked me how I was doing. I broke down in tears and I shared with him my struggles. He did not have to tell me then that I was a sinner. I knew that already. But he told me that Jesus Christ died to pay for my sin. And if I would believe that Jesus paid it on the cross so that I would not have to, and if I put my trust in Jesus, he would forgive my sin. I had heard those words many times before, but that day it was the first time I actually heard it. And it all made sense. I repented of my sins and trusted that Jesus Christ died for me. It's been 14 years since. Though I am still ashamed to talk about my past, I am nevertheless forgiven. I am free. The things that I thought I would not be able to stop doing, I not only stopped, but my desires have changed. Later, I learned in the Bible that I was actually given a new heart, made into a new man. Some things happened gradually, others were instantaneous. For instance, having a desire to love and live with my mother. In Ephesians chapter 2, it reads, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, and in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Today, I have no confidence in myself. Even when I do good things, I don't trust in that for one. My only confidence is in the work that Christ did for me.
I have a mess of notes up here. Okay, so this is going to be the third time that I've been baptized. I was baptized as an infant, which I had nothing to do with. And well, I was there, but I had nothing to do with it. And the second time I was baptized, I actually thought that I was a Christian, and that was about 7 years ago. I thought I was a Christian, and it was after a period of searching that a friend who had been raised in a Christian home was just starting to turn back to the Lord. And we had been living, you know, rebellious, heathen, hippie lives together. And she started to read her Bible, and she started to share the Bible with me. And she shared it as somebody who really believed it as a history book. And this was my first encounter with somebody who actually read the Bible and believed the Bible. So she was somebody I greatly admired, and I wanted to be like her. I found a lot in her that was similar to myself. So when we went to church together, and they did an altar call at this church service, and I went up, she went up, and I went up, and we were all crying, and it was very emotional, and I remember getting in the car and not really knowing what had just happened. I went on from there, and I read my Bible, and as she came under conviction, you know, I would too, and I would change the way I dress, I changed the way I behaved, and I really started to judge myself. I really hated who I was. I would judge other people. The truth that I had heard just caused me to turn and look at everyone around me, and I saw what a sinful world we live in. And I had this idea of being a sinner, but I didn't really understand how my personal sin had offended God. And so circumstances changed, and she was taken, and she went to get married, and I felt so betrayed and hopeless. I really lost my bearings. I was able to escape and hide in working. I got a job at a restaurant, and I was working as much as possible and avoiding all the Christians in my life. I stopped reading the Bible. And I even moved in with the owner of the restaurant and got into a relationship with this man. I lived like that for a few years. Most of the time I could hide. It was easy because I was very busy. I was working morning and night, and I would work until late at night, and we would drink wine, so I would be, you know, intoxicated and just go to sleep and wake up and get busy and do the same thing the next day and get intoxicated and go to sleep. So I was able to avoid myself, and but God is so merciful, and he would not let me go, and my conscience was sensitized in those little bits that I spent in church in those years before. So I was able to hide, but in those quiet moments, and I would know that I was a sinner and God was going to judge me. I remember when there would be an extreme thunderstorm, I was fearful that Christ was going to return and I was not right with God. And where could I go? What could I do? How could I hide from him? One time on the plane back from Italy, I fell asleep on the plane, and I had a dream that I was driving a car top speed, and before I crashed into the wall, I woke up and I was petrified. I was absolutely stiffened with fear, and I looked out the window and saw the white clouds billowing in the sky. I was in an airplane over the ocean, and I knew that I was in God's hand, that my life was not my own. Where could I hide from him? And I continued hiding and trying and drinking, and I went to yoga. I tried everything. And then I don't know how to explain it, except God is so merciful and he is patient. And he led me. I went to a bookstore. I was looking for a book that would give me a sense of spirituality, but I could continue living and not feel so condemned all the time. And I picked up C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. For anyone who's read that book, it's not the best book to buy if you're looking for an escape route, because I was confronted with the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ, that we are all under sin, under the law, and that Jesus Christ came to die for that, and that's who he was, and that's who he said he was. A lot of us, we just hear about the Bible. We never actually read it, but when we read it, that Jesus said that he came to die, and that he was dying for our sins. So even in going into a music store and trying to find music that would get me back into like what I perceived as like an innocent time back before I got into all this mess, and picked up a CD from an artist that I had listened to, and she must have, I don't know, I know the Lord used it, because the words that I heard in this album from this seemingly secular artist, it was, repent. Repent, for the day is far too spent. Repent. And I bowed my heart in my car before going into work one afternoon, because I had been guilty, and I knew I was a sinner, and Jesus saved me. I knew that he came to save me from my sin, and I knew that he had forgiven me, and that the very one that I was so afraid of meeting, and the very one that that I knew I had offended, that he was also the one that could heal my sins, that he could forgive me and give me true comfort. So I believe that. And that very moment in the days to follow, I had strength to change. I ended the relationship. I moved out, and I eventually stopped the job, and God changed my heart that day. And since then, he's been, you know, I've made errors and gotten thrown off, but I've always known that he is with me, he's guiding me, and he's changing me into the person he made me to be. And God gave me a husband in Bruce, an heir in the grace of life, and three daughters, and I'm going to teach them this truth. This is the truth. And it has set me free, and it will set everybody free.
Amen. Amen. And Bruce, I'm sorry, John, Bruce's brother, John Bucard. What a blessing it must be for your family to witness this.
So, a lot of you know I haven't been here in 3 weeks. Actually got cold feet and went to Africa, and but God sent me back. Romans 5, verse 1 through 6. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So similar to Bruce, I grew up in church, and but you know, God didn't really become personal until I got to college. It was very clear within 2 years of college that a lot of sin, you know, pride, selfishness, bitterness, really began to manifest himself in me. And the main thing for me was idolatry, looking for, you know, because I had really low self-esteem, poor self-image, which is a form of pride, but I was trying to look for these things in relationships and, you know, dating and things like that, and trying to sort of puff myself up by getting other people to like me. And, it, you know, very quickly, you know, these things became, you know, I became convicted of these things, and you know, similar to Laura, I was afraid, you know, I was afraid of dying, you know, panic attacks. And, you know, I would, you know, listen to sermons, listen to Christian music, doing whatever I can to, you know, sort of suppress the guilt that I was feeling. And I remember we got to a point where one thing I told God, I said, you know, and at this point I thought I was a Christian because I had been going to church. But I remember telling God specifically that he has to do a miracle to change who I was, because I couldn't do it. And I remember, you know, I was watching, it was a documentary, it had nothing to do with the gospel. You know, God, in that moment, after I had, you know, just prayed to him, he, you know, I could feel he removing the bitterness and the fear and, amen, you know, the selfishness that I had been feeling. And for the first time, you know, I really had a peace and a love in my heart for people. And you know, I was confused because I didn't really know what was happening, because I thought I was a Christian all along. Then about a couple of months later, you know, my desires began to change. I went back to school, things that I wanted to do or that I used to do. I didn't want to do those things anymore. And I read the story, the parable where Christ, you know, he talks about the sheep, the shepherd with the 100 sheep. You know, one of them goes off and the shepherd leaves the 99 to go look for that one sheep to bring him back. And that's when it became clear to me that God had looked for me, that one sheep, and had brought me back. It's been 3 years, and God is changing me. And when I first had that encounter with God, I told him, because, you know, we didn't grow up, you know, our dad died when we were very young. And as a 20-year-old young man, you know, it's hard to sort of figure out your manhood when you don't have a father figure. And I prayed to God, I told him that he had to make a man out of me. And he had to teach me true manhood from his word. And God is teaching me character. He's giving me wisdom. He's helping me to reason about life and just things that some that are older than me, my friends, cannot reason about. But God is allowing me to see things very clearly. And after that experience, I had, you know, I was in a relationship and I ended that. And, you know, similar to that, you know, and, you know, the things I was looking for in that relationship, God then gave me liberally and in abundance, you know, to the point where I'm able to be single and still find my comfort, manhood, and everything that a man is to be. I'm finding it in God, who is now my father. And he restored my relationship with Bruce, with my mom, with my siblings. And so the reason I read that verse, that passage, the one thing that stands out for me is verse 6, where it says, God died for the ungodly. You know, and so he doesn't ask the ungodly to go, change yourself, and then come back. But he says, you know, he knows you're ungodly, and the punishment is death. But he's saying, I took that punishment for you. And he calls the ungodly to then put their faith in him. You know, and then he changes you, he saves you, and he redeems you. I was driving home, I would listen to a song. It says, in this life, I know what I've been, but in your arms, in the arms of God, I know who I am, and that's forgiven. And it says, I don't have to carry the weight of what I've been and the things I've done because I'm forgiven. And so, you know, I think the desire that we all have is to experience and, you know, to know that there is a way to be forgiven so that you don't have to carry the weight of the things you've done and the sins you've committed, because God is a loving and forgiving God. And so I thank him, and, you know.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and grateful to you for the new life that you give us in Christ. We thank you for placing your hand upon Bruce. Father, your word would tell us that even from the days of eternity, you knew his name. You knew him, Father, from before he was born in his mother's womb. Lord, you knew and carried him through all of those times to the point where you brought him to the place of coming to you, Father, in repentance and faith. We are thankful for your work in his life. We ask you, Father God, for your blessing and your continued hand upon him, that, Lord, whatever he sets his hand to would be blessed in accordance with your will. We thank you for the blessing of his household in giving him children to teach the faith to. We pray, Lord, for your commission to him as a father, first and foremost, to his family, Lord, and as a man of God to your church, that you would raise him up in all that you've called him to do. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his new life. We ask you, Lord, for your hand and your blessing upon him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Brother Bruce, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
Yes.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you are saved? Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all the days as part of his church?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Based upon your profession of faith, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, Bruce, we baptize you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Laura, Lord. We thank you, Father, for placing your hand upon her from before the foundation of the world, before the beginning of time. We thank you, Lord, for setting her apart from her mother's womb. We thank you, Father God, for your calling upon her life, first and foremost, as the mother of her children, to raise her children in you, Lord God, and as a member of your body, a member of your church, to be an example to women, younger disciples. We pray, Lord, that as you raise her and grow her in the faith, that she would be a great teacher of women, that as we learn in Titus chapter 2, the older women to teach the younger women, that as she's older and raised up, Father, that you would strengthen her to be able to teach younger women, beginning with her own daughters and others in the church as well. We're grateful for her life, and Lord, we're grateful for her testimony. We're reminded of the book of Acts, how there were disciples who were following, baptized disciples, who thought they were saved but knew nothing of the work of the Spirit until Paul came and clarified that work to them, and then they understood and were baptized. So we pray, Father God, that as Laura has testified of not understanding the work of your Spirit and now understanding it, Lord God, that you would be glorified, that as she goes down and comes up, she would know that this is her resurrected life in Christ, and that she would walk in the newness of life. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Laura, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
Yes.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone, that you're saved?
Yes.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all the days as part of his church?
Yes.
Amen. Based upon the profession of faith, Laura, how do you want to do it? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Laura, we baptize you. Let's pray for John. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for saving John. We thank you, Father, for bringing him, Lord God, out of the pit, delivering him from destruction and setting your love upon him. We thank you, Father, for his life. We thank you for the new life that you've given him in Christ, for opening up his heart to the gospel. We thank you for the faith, the gift of faith that you've given him, that he might believe in you and trust in you. And we pray, O Lord, that as these baptismal waters represent our death, burial, and resurrection in Christ, that you would cause him to walk in the newness of life, that as he is birthed from the womb of your Spirit, that he would bear fruit unto life, that you would fulfill the calling that you have on his life, whatever that might be, that your purposes would be accomplished through him as part of your church. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother John, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
Yes.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you are saved?
Yes.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
Yes.
John, upon your profession of faith, we as a church, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.
You can be seated. And we'll call up Sister Noli Castro.
I've been coming to this church for maybe 6-7 months now. I came here at a time where I was looking for somewhere to go, to be accepted, to heal. And with God's help, I was led here. And the first person that I spoke to when I came here that welcomed me with open arms, that just made such a big impression on me that I just had to keep coming back. With the help of God and some very good friends and some of my family members, I have come through this. About a year ago, I was put into a situation that no person in my stage of life or age should have to be in. I found myself alone for the first time in my life. I have learned and lived the meaning of the phrase, God never gives us more than we can handle, with Him by my side. I am here today, standing and strong in my faith. There were times when I cried for hours. Even though I am physically alone, I have always known that He has never left me. Sometimes I would beg Jesus to please take me home. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go home with you. But somehow, from somewhere, I would always hear Him say, Noli, you are not alone. I am here. I would ask why and why me? And the answer would be, why not? Why not you? Everything that I lost, God has given back to me with His love and comfort. I have learned to trust and love Him above all else, because now I know that He will never leave or forsake me, no matter who else does. He is right here in my heart, and He is my constant companion. He loves and takes care of me, no matter what. His love for all of us is truly unconditional.
Amen. And our sister, Lizette Hernandez.
God bless everyone. I'm going to have my friend, my brother in Christ, Hector, translating me because I have family who don't understand English, and I would like for them to also hear the gospel and to not miss this opportunity of hearing the word of God. En este día, voy a tener a mi hermano Hector.
On this day, I will have my brother Hector
traduciéndome.
Translating for me.
En este día que está hecho para la gloria de Dios.
On this day, which was made for the glory of God.
Quiero compartir ante todos ustedes.
I would like to share before all of you.
Con mi familia.
With my family.
Con mis amigos.
With my friends.
Con mi familia en Cristo.
With my family in Christ.
Con los que están de visita también.
With those of you who have come to visit today.
Y quiero compartir con ustedes mi fe y mi gozo en Cristo.
I would like to share with you today my faith and joy in Christ.
El Cristo del cual hoy quiero exaltar y glorificar.
The Christ of whom which I would like to exalt in this day.
Es el Cristo que me ha dado a conocer.
It is the Christ who has let me know.
Que Él es Dios.
That He is God.
El que perdona pecados.
The one who forgives sins.
El que vino a buscar y a servir pecadores.
The one who came to seek and serve sinners.
Como yo.
Like myself.
Él murió por mis pecados.
He died for my sins.
Resucitó para la gloria de Dios.
Resurrected for the glory of God.
Y para darme salvación.
And to give me salvation.
Y es el día de hoy.
And on this day.
Yo sé.
I know.
Que Él está vivo.
That He is alive.
Con este Cristo.
With this Christ.
Es con quien me identifico.
Is with whom I identify myself with.
Amen. Con Él.
With Him.
Y solamente con Él.
And only with Him.
Quiero confiar.
I would like to trust Him.
Obedecer.
Obey.
Y glorificar.
And glorify.
Como mi hermano John. John, Laura.
Like my brother John and Laura.
Yo tenía mucho miedo a morir.
I had a lot of fear in regards to dying.
Pero hoy,
but today,
por fe,
by faith,
me uno con él en su muerte,
I unite with him in his death,
y su resurrección,
in his resurrection.
Y reconozco,
and I recognize,
que no tengo nada,
that I have nothing,
que ofrecerle,
to offer him,
por lo que él ha hecho en la cruz,
for what he has done for me on the cross.
Y no hay nada en este mundo,
and there's nothing in this world,
que pueda compensar,
that can compensate,
su glorioso trabajo,
for his glory and his work.
En estos días he estado pensando mucho,
in these days, I've been given a lot of thought,
en esto de bautismo,
in this, in terms of the baptism,
aún más,
and even more,
y antes ustedes quiero decirle que,
and before you, I would like to tell you,
ustedes están en mi velorio, en mi muerte,
sorry,
en mi muerte,
that you guys are sharing in my death,
like que como si estuviera en mi funeral,
as if you were in my funeral,
porque hoy muero con Cristo,
because today I die with Christ,
y me levanto con él,
and I rise with him.
Estoy muy agradecida,
I'm very grateful,
en la forma que el Señor se ha glorificado en mi vida,
in the manner in which the Lord has glorified himself in my life.
Cuando vean el verso de Isaías 55:8,
when I read in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8,
que dice,
which says,
porque mis pensamientos,
because my thoughts,
no son los de ustedes,
are not yours,
ni sus caminos,
nor my ways,
son los míos,
nor your ways are mine,
afirma el Señor,
says the Lord,
me consuela saber,
that I'm comforted in knowing,
que Él está en control de mi vida,
that he is in control of my life,
que esta vida no me pertenece a mí,
that this life does not belong to me,
ni al mundo,
nor to the world,
sino a Cristo,
rather to the Lord Christ.
Aunque a veces no entienda su voluntad,
even though sometimes I don't understand his will,
confío en él.
I trust in him.
Mi vida sin Cristo no tenía sentido.
My life without Christ had no meaning.
Consistía en depresión.
It consisted of depression.
Dolor.
Hurt.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Decepción.
Deception.
De la vida y de la gente.
From life and from people.
Chismes.
Gossip.
Blasfemia.
Blasphemies.
Palabras obscenas.
Obscene words.
Enojo.
Anger.
Clubbing.
Going to clubs.
Orgullo.
Pride.
Rebeldía.
Rebellion.
Con mi madre y con Dios.
With my mother and with God.
Dudaba de su palabra.
I doubted his word.
Y aún así profesaba conocerlo.
Even when I would profess to know him.
A mi manera.
My own ways.
Lo cual también me hace,
which also made me,
una mentirosa.
A liar.
Asimismo también,
in the same manner,
trataba de usar mis propias fuerzas,
I tried by my own strength,
y mi sabiduría,
and my own wisdom,
en buscar y obtener su salvación,
to look for, seek, and find his salvation.
Bautizándome,
baptizing myself,
por medio de una secta,
through a cult,
lo cual no funcionó,
which didn't work,
porque seguía desobedeciendo a Dios.
Because I continued disobeying God.
No es el acto mismo del bautismo,
it is not the act itself of baptism,
lo que me hace ser cristiana,
which makes me a Christian.
Más bien es lo que Dios ha hecho,
but rather what God has done,
para transformarme y regresarme a Él.
To transform me and return me to Him.
Y es muy claro en Efesios 2:8.
And it is very clear in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8.
Para mí que es por su gracia,
me, that it is by his grace,
que somos salvos,
that we are saved,
mediante la fe,
by faith,
y este no procede de mí,
and this does not come forth from myself,
sino que es regalo de Dios,
but rather a gift from God.
Mis esfuerzos y mis sacrificios,
my strength, my efforts and my sacrifices,
fueron en vano,
were all in vain.
Sí, sé que el Dios que conozco hoy,
I know that the God that I know today,
es un Dios justo,
is a just God,
que vive,
who lives,
y también creo que Cristo es el camino,
and I also believe that Christ is the way,
la verdad,
the truth,
y la vida,
and the life,
para llegar al Padre,
to get to the Father.
Cristo es mi testimonio hoy,
Christ is my testimony today.
Todo lo que necesito es Él,
all I need is Him,
que Él sea el centro de mi vida,
sorry,
que Él sea el centro de mi vida,
that He may be the center of my life,
y para Él quiero vivir.
And for him I would like to live.
Y eso es lo que creo.
And this is what I believe.
y lo que Dios ha, y lo que Dios ha hecho por mí,
and what God has done for me,
por medio de Jesús Cristo,
through Christ Jesus.
Así como en Romanos 10:11,
and just like in Romans 10 verse 11,
al igual que Pablo,
just like Paul,
me encuentro deseando,
I find myself also desiring,
que mi familia,
my family,
mis amigos,
my friends,
la familia de mis hermanos,
the family of my brothers,
los que los visitan,
those of you who visit today,
vengan a Cristo,
would come to Christ,
y le sirvan a Él,
and would receive Him.
Sé que esto es obra de Dios,
I know this is the work of God,
y le pido,
and I ask
que use este testimonio,
that God would use this testimony,
y este servicio,
and this service,
y todas las cosas en tu vida,
and all the things in your life,
para que los que han oído de su grandeza,
so that those of you who have heard of His greatness,
tengan que venir a Él,
would come to Him,
al lugar de gracia,
by means of grace,
arrepentimiento,
repentance,
y verdadera transformación,
and true transformation,
para la gloria de Dios,
for the glory of God,
Padre,
the Father,
por medio de su Hijo Jesús,
through His Son Jesus Christ,
en el poder del Espíritu Santo,
and the power of the Holy Spirit.
God put this in my heart to read this, and this pretty much explains it all. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit, that I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. I just want to share a little bit about myself. Before Jesus opened up my heart, I was full of anxiety, fear, doubt, confusion, and even hate. I wasn't very pleasant to be around with. My own family didn't want to be around me. They said it was walking on eggshells. Fear and anxiety took over my life to the point that I was almost agoraphobic, afraid to even leave my own home or comfortable surroundings. This led to many years of an anxiety disorder and panic attacks. Even driving to this location here in North Jersey was a big step for me. I was also very distant from people and always wanted to be in control. I had a trust issue. I started to watch faith-based shows and television, which led me to read the Bible. When I was coming across all these verses, coming to the church here, God led me to Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 18 reads, "And immediately something like scales fell from my eyes, and he regained sight." When God opened up my eyes to the living word, which is this, the Bible, the scales fell off from my eyes. I was able to read the Bible and actually understand it. Most people like myself didn't read it because we didn't understand it, and actually I think afraid of it. But it is the truth. It's the living truth. He melted my heart of stone, or should be better be described as granite, and put me back in his flock with his staff. I was able to let go and give God control because I was a control freak. And it drove everybody crazy, drove me crazy, drove people away, including my own family members, which is, and of course, it wasn't me to blame. It was everybody else. It wasn't my fault. This could only happen by God through his son, Jesus. I thank God and give him all the glory for my transformation. I am still in awe that Jesus died on the cross for me, for my salvation, and did it out of love for me. And I never understood that before, but now I do. Now I know how to love. I believe in the power of the cross and the power of prayer, which I really do now. And thank you for all your prayers, everybody. And thank you, God, and thank you, Jesus, for this day and anybody, everybody's day who comes to Jesus. Amen.
And then lastly today, Rosemary's daughter, Marissa Lanza.
Hi. I'm nervous, and I've been crying a lot, so if I start crying, sorry. Okay, I'm just going to start. If you want to read in the red books, it's the Bible. It's page 539, Psalm 107. This is a psalm the Lord led me to. Yeah, so... verses 10 to 16. Can you read it? Because I like. Can you read it for me? Thanks.
Psalm 107, verses 10 to 16. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron.
Thank you. Okay, that pretty much, I had no idea what was going on, but that happened in my life. I basically, before God saved me, anyone who's here knows me, Emily, Rob, my brother, my dad. I was pretty much too smart, too good, too this, too that. I was very prideful, and specifically, I hated Christian people. I hated any concept of it, even though I was raised in a Catholic church and I did go to Mass and everything like that. I just specifically had a specific hate, especially as I got older, got into college, more liberal mindset, just a hate for anything that had to do with the Bible and anything that had to do with Christian people because they were a reflection of what the Bible said. But then, like it said in the psalm, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, that he bowed down their hearts with hard labor. He did that to me. I had no idea what was happening, but in 2009, things happened with a job. Suddenly, my perfect world was crumbling. I couldn't do my job, and it was just foreign to me. I was a straight-A student. I always did whatever I did it, and I did it well, you know? And all of a sudden, I couldn't do this, and it was humiliating. I was sick. I was... panic attacks every morning before work. I never had panic attacks before. Just horrible. It got to the point where I quit my job after about 3 months, which was humiliating also. And I didn't want to live anymore. I had someone in my family that committed suicide, and I was like, well, I guess that's what I have to do too. You know, I have nothing to show for myself. But by God's grace, I had family around me that wouldn't let that happen. And I did go to, like, psychiatrists, whatever, and they wanted to put me on medicines. But I was like, nah, I don't want to do this because I knew depression meds and stuff, what their effects were. I had some people who told me it wasn't good, and I never believed in that stuff. So I was trying to look for spiritual things to make me better. I got into like all New Age stuff because someone did offer me, oh, read this Bible. It was actually my dad. He brought it to me and I said, only dumb people believe that. You know, that's archaic. Who believes this stuff? You're so stupid to believe this. So I didn't go to that, but I went to all New Age things. And even New Age, they have a version of Jesus in it. And I didn't even read about him in that. I said, I don't want anything to do with this. I want Buddha. I don't want that. So with, you know, my New Age stuff, I got into like meditation, visualization, positive reinforcement, all that. And during this time, my life still crumbled more. Someone who I was in a relationship with, who I guess I thought I was going to marry, broke up with me in the middle of everything going wrong. I couldn't believe that, but, you know, I was in my New Age, so I had to be positive about it. So, trying to be positive, I just suppressed it. And I was like, oh, no, everything's fine. It's good. This is good. But it wasn't. Eventually, this led me, as it wasn't working and my hopes were dying because they're false hopes, this led me to a false Christianity, you know. What I couldn't believe I was watching on TV these crazy people that I used to think were nuts, like BET Sunday mornings kind of stuff, and like whatever they are, Daystar and all those. So this false Christianity, and I was like, all right, this Buddha's not working, so let's go here. So I was just like, I need my blessings. I need my life to get better. And eventually by the end of 2010, I was back to having no hope. And I just was back to feeling like I did a year before. And I couldn't believe it because I knew I tried everything. And I'm like, if Christianity doesn't work, then what's the truth? So I was just at the end of myself completely. The false Christianity wasn't working. And I just cried and I just said, God, who are you? Like, who are you? I had no idea. And I just knew I still had to read the Bible, but I didn't know what it was going to do. And all of a sudden, the Lord led me to this thing online, this gospel thing, because I knew I had to read something, and the only spiritual thing I had was the Bible. And I knew that if the God of the Bible was true, that he would tell me. So eventually, he led me to someone who I had no idea is like this great gospel preacher. And I listened to his message, and it was the first time I saw, not in a dramatic way, just in like a snap, like a light bulb way, I was like, oh, I'm not a good person. I was like, really? Like, the good me isn't good? And I just realized that, and I was like, wow, so I got it. Like, he died because I wasn't good. That's why he died. All of a sudden, this thing I didn't get, I got. And then one night, I don't know if it was that night or a couple of nights after, I don't remember, but then I was just getting ready for work. I had a job at this time, and I was getting ready for my next day of work, and it just came in my head, the scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it just clicked. I'm like, oh, I get it. You change. And from that point on, all of a sudden, I was just like, God, I don't want to do it my way. Just have me do it your way. Because my whole life, I did it my way, and it was a mess. So by his grace, he just showed me who he was, and he really did. He brought me out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst my bonds apart. And now I'm thanking him for his love and for all that he did for me. And it really is real. Anyone who thinks like this Jesus stuff is fake, I was one of them. And it's really real. And I just pray that he shows you that he's really real. Thanks.
Let's pray for Noli. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God, that even when man is faithless, you remain faithful. And Father, we thank you for revealing this to Noli through much pain and through much difficulty, but nevertheless, Father, your goodness to her has been consistent through it all. Father, you promise us in your word that you are a father to the fatherless and a husband to the husbandless, Lord, that you are the one who meets all of our needs, that you meet them according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And Father, very often in life, we don't recognize this. We don't come to the realization of it until we're faced with trials and difficulties. But I thank you, O God, that you were faithful to Noli through those trials and difficulties to open up her eyes to your presence in her life, that you are with us unto eternity. As you told your disciples, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Lord, we know that becoming a Christian and walking in Christ certainly does not exempt us from more trials, but I pray for my sister that you would be renewing her from glory to glory, that you would cause her to grow into the image of Christ more and more with each passing day, Father, that she would learn to trust and rely upon you more and more with each day as she grows in you. We thank you, Father, for the glorious privilege of being able as a body to recognize and baptize our sister into the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.
Sister Noli, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
Yes.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you are saved?
Yes.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all the days as part of his church?
I will.
Amen. And Noli, based upon your confession of faith, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you. Okay, let's pray for Lizette. Heavenly Father, we thank you for setting your love upon Lizette, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for opening up her eyes to the gospel. We thank you for your faithfulness toward her. We thank you, Father, for the faithful witness that she has borne of your work in her life. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for the work of salvation that you truly do in lives, how you work all of the things in our lives together for good, to draw us unto yourself in accordance with your purposes. And Father, we lift up Lizette to you. We pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to her, continue to cause her to grow into the image of your beloved Son. That Father, as the initial step of obedience in the waters of baptism follows after you, that in each and every step that she should take by your grace and for your glory, she would continue to follow you all of her days, O God. And Lord, at times when she does sin, as we all do, Lord God, that she would turn to you and find in you a faithful God who is the one who forgives us of all of our iniquities and cleanses us and makes us righteous. We thank you for the work of righteousness in her life, for saving her, for her delivering her, Father, from this world and the bondage of this world, and bringing her out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And as she comes up out of the water, may she walk in the newness of life, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Sister Lizette, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
Yes.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you're saved? Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
Yes, I do.
And Lizette, based upon your confession of faith, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up Rosemary to you, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness toward her. We thank you, Father God, as she bore witness of your word in Psalm 51 of your forgiveness, that you did not leave her in the pit of destruction, but you have delivered her. You brought her out of darkness and into your marvelous light. You gave her a new life. You took out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, which is only a work that you can do. We thank you, Father, of how you have worked in and through her household, Lord God. And we pray, Father, that as your Spirit did in the early church, how your Spirit just ripped through households and saved households, Father. We ask this for your glory's sake in the Lanza household, Father. We're grateful and thankful that we can bear witness of what you're doing in her life, in her daughter's life, in the life of her family. We're grateful and thankful, Father, that we can celebrate this new life with her by recognizing it in baptism. And Lord, we ask you that you would walk with her all of her days. That, Father, as she comes up out of the water, she would know that she has come up with Christ, that she's been risen with Christ. And we pray that that she would walk in the newness of life in each step that she takes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sister Rosemary, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you are saved?
Yes.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
Yes.
And Rosemary, based upon your profession of faith, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you. Okay, let's pray for Marissa. Heavenly Father, we thank you for salvation. We praise your name, O God. We are truly unworthy of what you have done in our lives. We are unworthy, Lord God, to be called children. Lord, the world would look upon people's lives and say, such a one is good, or such a one will amount to much in life. But Father, it is all nothing if it be apart from you and it be apart from your grace. And Lord, we thank you that you have opened up our sister Marissa's eyes to that. We thank you that you have been faithful to show her the emptiness of the world's religions, the emptiness of following after herself, the emptiness in trusting in herself and her own goodness to save her. Lord, you were faithful to carry her along in such a relatively short amount of time that even, I believe, a year ago around this time, she was not your child, but today is. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to her, for causing her to be born again by the Word, the living Word of God. And Lord, we as a church are thankful that you have directed her this way by our paths. And we are thankful that we can recognize her salvation, Lord, her new birth in the waters of baptism. And Father, we're grateful and thankful that we can practice infant baptism in this way, Lord, in the real way, in the way that you intended it, with a newborn babe in Christ. And we glorify your name for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sister Marissa, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
Yes.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you are saved? Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all the days as part of his church?
Marissa, based upon your profession of faith, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.